Welcome to the Enneagram 2.0 podcast. I'm Beatrice Chestnut.
And I'm Udonio Pais.
And today we're talking about activating the heart center. What do we mean by this?
I need to learn well, a bit more as a head type.
Following on the theme, I know that the last podcast that you did by yourself when I was away was about activating the head center. So now we want to talk about activating the heart center, both for head types and body types, but maybe even a little bit for heart types, because we can tend to overdo the heart center function.
Right. So, yeah, just want to say, if you're watching us on video also, you'll notice that we are in a different place and Bea and I are together in person. This is because we are in Brazil, close to São Paulo city. Mm-hmm. Doing a experiential Enneagram retreat among several that we are going to do this in my country. Mm-hmm. And maybe just being here brings me to the heart in different ways.
Yes, yes.
So we are going to talk about ways to activate the heart center for all nine types.
Right.
And there are tasks to be done by all of us.
Right.
And then there are differences according to the Enneagram triad,
right,
body types, heart types, and head types, and also per type.
Right. And what do we mean by activating the heart center? Like, what are we talking about here?
So we are talking about centers of intelligence,
right,
that all of us need to work on. And make sure that we use each of those centers more fully. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as human beings, we have an emotional center. Mm-hmm. But most people, the vast majority of people, use that center only superficially.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that people are usually connected just to reactive emotions, conditioned emotions, mm-hmm, that are not very very sophisticated. They are more like emotional reflexes. They are like instinctual material behind emotions or underneath emotions, meaning that they are not the emotions per se. They are more like reactions that happen more like in an instinctive way,
mm-hmm,
instead of being truly the emotional experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is limiting.
Right. Like, I'm thinking of, for instance, times when we've been working with people, like I'm thinking of a nine right now. And I remember you saying, you know, this nine guy, his heart isn't open at all. Like, you sense that in,
mm-hmm,
him. And even though maybe it looked like he was having some emotions, you sense that he hadn't really activated his heart. He wasn't really using his heart in the way that it's meant to be used.
Yes, and that can happen with people of any of the nine types, including,
right,
heart types.
Right.
Heart types can, at times, use their hearts only in those particular emotions that are easy for them.
Right.
So one or two examples, maybe. A sexual four vibrates more in anger,
right,
and finds it difficult to get underneath into sadness or fear. They sometimes go to happiness, sometimes not, but,
mm-hmm,
but then it's very limiting. And the emotion of anger for fours is something that can be really just a reaction to things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, you know, fulfill the heart as, mm-hmm, when we use all four human emotions, we feel like being fulfilled, mm-hmm, in our hearts. And again, what are the four basic emotions be?
Sadness, fear, anger, and happiness. And when we say happiness, we're not talking about joy, like a higher level positive emotion. We're talking more about like everyday ordinary happiness.
Exactly. Yeah. And talking about activating the heart center, one of the things that are really important is to make sure that you have the experience of each and all of these four emotions. And depending on your type or subtype, you're prone to feeling only one or two of them and not the other ones. And we need to be in touch with all four emotions. And maybe we can talk about this in a while, but I just want to compliment and say that not only being in touch with all four, but being really in the center of that emotional experience for each of the four. Like feeling that in a way that is pure and not just as a reflex or of something and taking not too long. Sometimes the emotional experience is really deeper and takes longer. And it feels like we are not in control. We are losing control. And that is important, especially for someone like me, like a poor head type five that
habitually disconnects from emotions.
Yeah, and who fears losing control in the heart, especially.
Right. So again, I just want to be clear what we're talking about so our listeners, viewers are clear. So activating the heart center doesn't mean like just having sort of superficial reactive emotions that aren't fully using like the heart in terms of really being more deeply in an emotion, like engaging at a deeper level with whatever feeling we're having. And it also sounds like you're talking about activating the heart center means in another way, like being able to access all the feelings that we might need to access.
Right. Totally true. And at the same time, it's important that we understand that the passion of type, which we have described numerous times here at the podcast, occupies all the heart space if we are not working on it. Like Everest for me as a five or pride for you as a two, it tends to occupy all the heart space, therefore not leaving space for other rich emotional experiences.
So one way of not being fully in the heart center or not activating the heart in the way it's supposed to function might be just really being in your passion. Like if I'm really driven by pride and I'm just full of pride, there's not much room for me to get in touch with a deeper or more whole, full experience of my heart.
Right. And then a person completely caught in the state of passion is emotionally underdeveloped.
Right.
There is no other possibility. Right. So working on the passion so that it opens up space for other emotional experiences, making sure we experience all four human emotions in ways that are deep, not only superficial.
Right, making sure we're really in the feeling as opposed to maybe just having a temporary emotional reaction that's more superficial, more even instinct driven. Is that what you're saying? Some of our reactivity can be like if our subtype pattern is really in play, you know, we could be having a more instinctive reaction that looks emotional. Yeah. You know, maybe I get upset, you know, or angry or even have a tantrum, but maybe it's more driven by a reactive thing. Like, is that when we say reactive, is that always meaning that instinct is involved, or might it be just the lower emotional center reacting from a conditioned response? Like my parents did that. And so I always get upset when someone does that to me.
Yeah, I think that when it's there is this instinctual component, it's even more reactive. Mm-hmm. But many times there can be a purely emotional reactivity without the instinct. It's still conditioned and, and reactive. But when it's a more mechanical part of the emotion, more superficial, then it's completely reactive and conditioned.
I see. Okay.
Now, another thing. Is also to learn how to feel these emotions and just feel them without doing something about them or without thinking emotions.
Right,
like because, head types do.
Right, that's the trap for head types, right? Is they might think about an emotion and not actually feel the emotion. And they might think they're activating the heart center when they aren't really. Same for body types. They might have like sort of a sensation or a whiff of an emotion and then go into doing like, I need to take action, partly because they may defend against feeling their emotions by doing something about it or solving the problem that they perceive might come along with the emotion. But really it's a way of getting rid of the emotion by taking action.
Exactly. And also, you know, developing ourselves emotionally requires learning how to manage our reactivity, the emotional reactivity, and how to own things that are on us and not just blaming others, and learning how to respond instead of react, and some other things that only mature people can do. Right. So emotional maturity is another thing.
Right, which sounds like being able to kind of hold what's happening in a larger space inside us so that we see, ooh, I'm getting triggered, and maybe observe that and then make the conscious choice to go into the emotion without doing something reactive or mechanical to either discharge it or disconnect from it or somehow avoid it. Mm-hmm. It's like holding it in a space and saying, okay, I'm starting to feel this emotion. How can I really open my heart and allow myself to really feel that? And I want to remind people that even though there are many of us, heart types included, that can avoid certain emotions or be reactive with them, I think, you know, it's so important for us to be in touch with our hearts, to be able to activate our heart center, to be able to feel fully a range of emotions, because emotions bring us important information about what's happening and maybe what we need to work through or work on, so that we can get to a higher state of awareness and so that we can be present in all three centers and use each center for what its intended purpose is, which is a big part of inner growth, balancing the work of the centers, not using one center to do the work that is really intended for the other.
Right. And by the way, each of the four emotions bring us particular benefits. Like sadness helps us relax after the experience of sadness. We can't stay too tense after being in touch with sadness.
And also helps us move through grief. And sometimes grief needs to be felt and moved through, and sometimes slowly, because there's been a significant loss, for instance.
And the person who manages to be in touch with sadness becomes softer.
Right.
And
more real.
And also perceived as more human. But anger is also important because of boundaries. Without anger, I can't really create boundaries and value myself and have self-respect. And then happiness is important to just enjoy life and to be with a good energy. And
to acknowledge what's good in what's happening in the situation and yourself, to celebrate.
Right. And fear also is important because of protecting myself or others, or and really observing what's happening and not just going forward.
Detecting threats that are real.
So I think these are a few ways to activate the heart center. But
by feeling the feelings, you mean?
Yeah,
I just want to make sure people know what we're talking about when we so what we're talking about when we say activate the heart center is, how do you allow yourself to fully feel the emotions that come to you, that come through you, and fully open up to those feelings and be in those feelings, almost like really be with the feelings, as opposed to doing something else to get away from it.
And this requires developing what is called emotional resilience, like people being able to stay with emotion for as long as it takes. And for me, for instance, when I see you getting in touch with an emotion and allowing yourself to feel all of that until for all the time it lasts.
Right.
I admire you, because for me it's scary, and I feel like what's going to happen, and
feels
then,
unpredictable.
And I feel depleted. So it's about
mysterious and strange and unfamiliar,
And then I think it's all about creating that resilience to be able to stay with the emotions little by little. Because I think all kinds of emotional work take time, and we need to build an emotional house brick by brick.
Right. Almost, you know, and again, I think maybe for the head types, a little education, speaking to the head in the beginning, like we're doing now, helps, right? That emotions come and go. You're not going to if you open up to an emotion, it's not like it's going to last forever. It usually comes to deliver its information and then it goes. And the more we resist emotions, the more they're knocking at the door and the more they stay. I know for me too, as a heart type, if I'm feeling angry about something and it feels really legitimate, I know it's hard for me. It's hard for that anger to go until I have had a chance to be with it, speak from it, and have it acknowledged.
Yes,
you know, yes. And so it's really hard if someone doesn't acknowledge my anger. Again, don't, and this is for the head types out there, you don't have to agree with the person in your life, with the heart type in your life that wants you to acknowledge their emotion. Some head types think, well, I don't agree with this person in terms of what happened. It's like, that's okay. It's not about agreeing with the facts of the situation. It's acknowledging the emotion that the person's having. And if I can have my, if someone really, I really get that they understand and I know the difference that how I'm feeling, and then I can almost immediately start feeling better and letting that emotion go.
Right. And let's not forget something very basic here, like learning how to identify what is this emotion I'm feeling right now and name it.
Right.
So even things like that emotional wheel that it
wheel,
that, wheel
yeah.
that
yeah.
we
the
exist.
The emotion wheel. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about different ways that those basic emotions manifest.
And naming the, like having a list of emotions that you can draw from when, as you're learning what different emotions feel like and how to name them. I think that's important work. And again, a little less so for heart types, although even heart types, when I first started in therapy in my early 30s, I had to learn to feel my emotions because as a two, I was so outside myself, sort of trying to figure out what was going on with everyone else, that I didn't really register and feel my own emotions. I had to learn to do that in therapy.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
But maybe we should go triad by triad. Like maybe
types.
Let's talk about head types first, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Like maybe you can talk a little bit about how head types tend to maybe not activate the heart center and how they can.
Well, first, I think in many Western societies, at least, there is this paradigm that the head is more important than the other centers, and a lot of rationality, intellectualization, society. So one of the ways that head types do not activate the heart center is by believing that false premise. But another way that head types don't really access emotions is by thinking about them and narrating what's happening without being truly engaged with the heart.
Right.
Without really just feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the head becomes an intermediary to the heart.
Mm.
And that's problematic.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, fear prevails for head types, although sometimes it's hard to spot. Like sometimes it's very unconscious.
Right.
And it's fear for the head types, by the way, it needs to be well understood. It's the fear of the unknown and with a consequent need to anticipate whatever is going to happen.
Right.
And this is the same for fives, sixes, and sevens.
Right. And so when you're afraid of emotion, whether consciously or unconsciously, I would think that can block your ability to activate the heart center, right?
Yeah.
Because you maybe go back up into the head and start thinking where it's more comfortable.
Right.
And so there's just that sort of a natural avoidance to be in emotions and to the and thus activate the heart center. So what would you recommend? Like, how do you think head types and maybe type by type can work on being more comfortable activating the heart center?
I think self-disclosing in general with someone else, talking about what's happening in your life, it's starting with the facts, but then really exploring how you're feeling and not just explaining or trying to draw conclusions and analyze different aspects. Be really capable of doing this jump from fact-based narration to going inside and touch base with feelings.
Right.
And then talking to someone. I think
yes.
that it's essential for head types to learn how emotional work needs to be relational.
Yes, yes. And I can imagine it would be good to choose someone you trust, mm-hmm. especially in the beginning, mm-hmm. but even as you go. And also maybe even to have that person just be there either to listen or to ask questions.
And mirror
what they're saying. To empathize, to make it safe to mm-hmm. go there mm-hmm. and to acknowledge the person. I think it can be good for head types to get positive feedback.
Right.
For how great it is, you know, for people that care about you to hear how you really feel. And again, I think with practice, you can become safe. It becomes safer and you see how it strengthens relationships, because that's another function of, you know, expressing honest, authentic emotion is it strengthens bonds and connections between people.
Yeah, but I also think that for our head types, it's very important to have teachers of that, like people mm-hmm. you talk to who are more experienced than you mm-hmm. in that.
Yeah.
From any of the nine types, it's mm-hmm. sometimes it's not a particular type, mm-hmm. it's just someone who has walked this path mm-hmm. before. Because I think head types are more prone to learning by making sense of something when they have a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think mm-hmm. there's something about that mm-hmm. for head types.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, understanding how some emotions are harder. Like mm-hmm. if I talk in general, I think that sadness is a harder emotion for all head types.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then do you want to talk about five, sixes, and sevens,
yeah.
or should I go on to the other triads?
Why don't you talk about five, sixes, and say something okay. brief about each of them?
Yeah, I think fives find it really hard to stay in touch with emotions, and there is this automatic disconnection from emotions going to the head because of the defense mechanism of isolation, which is disconnecting from feelings and sensations going to the head. And then fives tend to limit the amount of emotional energy they feel when they are in touch with one of the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes very scary when it's too intense. Everything mm-hmm. intense is hard for mm-hmm. fives. And by the way, even when it's good, like an emotion mm-hmm. of happiness, too much happiness, whoop, the fives just cut that that thing.
You guys are funny.
Sometimes you find me funny because I don't like comedies, or
yes,
because I don't
find that
laugh
funny. Who
as
doesn't
much
like
as you
friends?
Do.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
no,
no,
so
yeah. But your daughter does.
Yeah, so fives need to learn how to develop expression also. Learning how to just open themselves to emotional manifestations, and even doing specific work to learn how to laugh, how to cry, how to use those normal emotional expressions. But it's super useful to start by talking if you don't stay just in the explanation mm-hmm. of what's happening.
Right,
right. And finally, I'd say that for fives, it's quite important to stay in connection, in relationship, in exchange. And it's little by little, but that's important so that the five can be in emotional territory. Mm. It's like there isn't much hope for a five if the five doesn't share information about them with someone else and listens from the other person, learning how to open the heart for giving and receiving,
mm-hmm.
which is
mm-hmm.
hard for the passion of Everest.
What do you think about techniques like, and again, here I'm talking not just about fives, but maybe even all head types or all types. What do you think about things like watching a sad movie if you want to get in touch with sadness? Maybe a particular kind of sad movie that the person
yeah.
gets you know, gets in touch with that emotion through.
Yeah, I think it's super good. And also when people are watching the movie, they're looking to the TV or the screen and not at you. So right. the fives
can be less more self-conscious. Easily. Yes. Yeah.
So I think there is a way that we need to go slow and little by little and activate emotions. But then if the five wants to add something more meaningful, it would be talking to someone else who was by their side about what they felt during the movie and what that brought to them and what they associated.
I do find that talking about something that brings emotions and going deeper and deeper into that, is good.
So having a debrief of what's happening.
Yes.
And also songs and other
music,
things.
Yes, things sometimes that bring back a sad time or an important time that triggers emotions.
Right, and little by little, allow yourself, if you're a five, to do that together with other people, which is probably not your tendency.
Right. So what about sixes? What tips do you have for sixes to activate the heart center?
Yeah, I think there's fear of all four emotions. We hear even sixes saying, I have fear of fear.
Right.
So,
and being in fear, is that activating the heart center or not for head types?
I think it's very limiting because it's like one emotion is kidnapping the space of all other emotions.
Right.
So development is how to negotiate space with the passion of fear to get in touch with other emotions, right? Of course, that changes according to subtype. Like usually for sexual sixes, anger is easy to, and so forth. I see happiness as an easy thing for self-pressed sixes, usually in this warmth approach of people. I think that sixes in general need to be encouraged by someone else when they're feeling emotions so that fear doesn't come in the way. And it's also useful if they go feel emotions and express before they start questioning if that's problematic.
Right.
You know, it's important in many things, not only this, to not give yourself much time if you're a six.
Right.
Like you need to cry or talk about it.
And if you're the friend of a six, giving them a lot of reassurance that you want to hear their feelings, that it helps you, and so that they can, you know, sixes need reassurance when they're doing something scary. And so I think helping them know that you like that, you appreciate that, you know them better, and you know how to relate to them in a better way.
Teaching them that they will be fine if emotions finish.
Yes.
By the way, very same thing for sevens.
Yes.
Like sevens getting in touch with hard emotions, fear that it will never end.
Right.
And that it will be too much.
That's
that they
the
won't
number
cope.
One barrier for sevens is they fear if they open up to their difficult emotions, they'll last forever. They'll be stuck or trapped in them forever. So reassurance, again, that it won't last long, you know, let them know they can take a little bit of time, but then come out of it. And sometimes we also suggest, you know, being positive about it with the seven. Sometimes that helps, again, reminding them why it's positive to be in your emotions and all the good things that brings can also be helpful.
Before they feel too happy about themselves and they go to happiness and kill the experience of the other emotions. The risk here is rationalization.
Yes, that's the big risk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning getting sevens can tend to like create good reasons why I shouldn't feel that or I shouldn't feel that or it's not so good.
That already happened. Now I'm fine.
Right. Yeah. I felt it. I moved on, you know, and sort of not giving enough time to really be with the emotion.
Right. And sometimes even thinking, why would I do that?
Right.
Rationalization. It's because you're human that you do that. So, I also think that sevens can develop emotionally when they understand that they might lack some depth in different things.
Yes.
Like there is a tendency for sevens to stay a bit more superficial than average.
Right.
And getting this feedback from people put them in touch with a different need of going deeper. And emotions are key for us to go deeper.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, it adds to the richness of life if you have more emotional capacity and can feel things. It's also the way we deeply connect with others is through emotion often. So highlighting these really big positives of the experience of living and that they can be pleasurable. Even being with someone in their sadness can actually be an honor and a pleasure because it reminds you of your closeness or the depth of your relationship or your friendship. And these things are only possible when we allow ourselves to be more connected to our emotions.
And emotions go away when you do all the work of getting in touch with them. And that includes for sevens, grief,
right.
You know, not avoiding that.
Right.
Now, should we go on to
body
types?
Yeah, let's talk about body types. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that as a triad, eights, nines, and ones, as body types, they tend to do something about emotions too quickly, as
mm-hmm.
we said.
Mm-hmm.
And they might mistake emotions happening in the heart for sensations happening in the belly.
Oh.
Like, I'm feeling like bothered, and I think I'm very emotional because I'm intense, but it's not feeling. Many times it's
mm-hmm.
just instinct.
It's right. It's a body sensation that may or may not be connected to an emotion. And one of the things we need to say up front, and this is a good reason for body types to work to activate the heart center and get more in touch with their emotions, is when they don't, unconsciously, many body types avoid feeling their emotions fully or being in their heart center feeling emotions. And so what they do is somaticize.
Yeah.
Somaticization is when we use our body to manage an emotion that needs to be experienced in the heart. So for instance, we've seen people who get illnesses because their body's trying to take over the process of processing an emotion, but it's not built for that.
Mm-hmm.
It can be pains, illness, different kinds of somatic issues and problems can come when body types don't, or any of us, but body types, we see this especially, don't experience their emotions more through the heart, which is built for the emotional experience.
Right. And another thing is that all body types, eights, nines, and ones, they need more stability. They need like to know that when they go crazy with emotions, that it feels like they're losing their ground, that they can come back and restructure and then go back and feel the emotions again. So my
yes.
point is, it's easier for body types to develop emotionally if they can do that in parts, like being in touch with an emotion and then coming back and restructure, and then you go back again and do that. Because if it feels like it's destabilizing for too long, it's way too hard for body types, unless they have done a lot of work, they have developed quite a bit, and then they can already do it.
Right. And I think that's another thing that needs to be said about activating the heart center for body types and head types is you don't have to do it all at once. You know, allow yourself to go step by step, you know, but have intentional experiences like the ones we're talking about, whether it's talking to a friend or watching a movie or listening to music, being with your pet, you know, different things where you sort of move toward your emotion in a way that maybe you don't naturally do.
Right. Then talking about eights, I mm-hmm. think eights deny emotions like sadness or fear, but not emotions like happiness and anger.
Mm-hmm.
So vulnerable emotions
right.
that they think will make them weak. And they deny also things like insecurity or lack of self-confidence and more. So that's tricky.
And hurt. Like hurt
yes.
and pain when someone's
yeah.
hurt your feelings. They might
right.
go right to anger and skip over the hurt.
Yeah. Or even something like you had an accident and you need to, you know, feel fear about that and feel the physical pain, and AIDS don't go there. They just avoid it because it will bring them fear, and also they will feel weak. So quite important to see if you're an AIDS, what you've been denying, what kind of emotions, and get help. Ask for someone to be with you and start talking about that.
And remember the all-important reframe for AIDS, and that is that it takes a lot of strength to be sensitive and to be emotional and to feel sadness, hurt, pain. It's not weakness, actually. So it may have been labeled that in your family of origin or in some past experience in your life, but it's actually a mark of strength and personal power to be able to consciously, by choice, feel suffering of different kinds or pain or hurt or insecurity. And that actually makes you more whole, and it actually makes you more approachable and more available for connection and deeper relationship.
Right. But I do think that for AIDS, the main work to be done is on sadness. To be in touch with sadness, because that also softens them, and they become harmless, and they really benefit from that.
And I will say this, is be very careful if you're an eight around who you ask for help, because we do hear a lot from eights that when they start to do this great work of getting more into their sensitivity or their vulnerable feelings, you know, people hurt them more easily, you know, and they are used to their old tough, you know, exterior. And so just know that you might need protection and that you need to go carefully and work with people you trust.
Yeah. So be selectively vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly.
Nines have this tendency of numbing out emotions, of anesthetizing emotions,
right?
Like not being fully in touch with the emotional vibration.
Right.
And it's never too much fear. It's some fear, never too much sadness. It's some sadness because they are addicted to comfort. And it's super important for nines to understand this and to get help and observe when they are starting to numb out emotions. They are not going completely deep into those emotions.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think for nines, also maybe a bit of inspiration is, it's one of the best things you can do for yourself and to get out of sloth is to pay more attention to how you're feeling and to ask for support and from other people in your life, to ask to be listened to. Nines sometimes say they love it when people ask them questions, and that actually helps them get more in touch with themselves and their feelings. When I used to do couples counseling, I remember I had a couple, and the guy was a nine, and his partner was another type. I can't remember, but I remember him. I remember I suggested, because his partner was saying, "Well, he doesn't always say what he's feeling," and I said, "Well, I think it might really help him if you asked him what he was feeling or asked him different questions." And he loved that idea. And most nines will say, "Yes, I really need help inquiring into my experience." So asking nines what they're feeling and sticking with it and letting them know you really care, you want to know, because sometimes nines assume that their emotions aren't important.
Yeah. And this can't be felt as pressure.
Right.
Because it's okay if you don't know right now.
Let's keep
talking.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Make it totally okay if they don't know, and make it a process of opening up over time.
Yeah. And finally, I want to say that nines will always feel emotions as being uncomfortable. And getting into the discomfort zone is key for a type nine person to develop. Mm-hmm. So know that by getting in touch with the discomfort of emotions, you will be developing.
Yes, exactly. Remember, and this goes for a lot of types, it is uncomfortable at first, and you will have to tolerate that, but that's what it means, activating the heart center. Usually, if you're uncomfortable, that's a positive thing. So remember that.
Right. Ones. So ones tend to judge themselves according to the emotion they are feeling, and not think it's appropriate at times.
Right. They may just automatically hold back emotions and impulses. thinking in one way or another that it's wrong or it's not appropriate, it's not okay. They may repress emotions without being conscious of it. That might be important to say, but also suppress. It's repression when it's unconscious, it's suppression when it's conscious, avoidance of feelings, or suppress them as in I'm bad or wrong somehow if I express this emotion or if I express this emotion in this situation. And so one thing that ones need to do is really try to work against any kind of criticism or self-judgment that they have around their emotions.
Yeah, and ones need to let go of the control of emotions as if they are controllable. What happens when we control emotions is that they go away. And again, what B said is important for ones, the somaticization that happens becoming rigidity.
Well, we also should say that when ones control their emotions, or they think I need to control myself, or I need to control my anger, it's important to know emotions don't go away just because you're not expressing them or you're suppressing them. In fact, that's what causes illness often, is like suppression of emotional experience. It needs to be felt and discharged and released. But another thing that reason why ones do that is because they are, you know, judging themselves for being wrong. But when they don't express their emotions, they don't go away. What happens with ones is that anger and other emotions leak out in behaviors, right? Like if you're a body type and you are saying to yourself, oh, I can't express this anger, often you're showing it through your body, right? Or you're holding it as tension in your body that's not good for you either, right? So you either hold it as tension, or maybe you're pounding the table and you don't realize it, or you're right. Being sarcastic. It's leaking out anyway. So this is another reason for all of us, but body types in this case, to really embrace the emotional function that you have. It's a gift that you have this ability to feel emotions. And it's also how we direct our experience in some ways. But if we're avoiding something, we're avoiding a part of ourselves and a part of our experience. So inviting those emotions in and going against any script that says that they're wrong or it's bad.
Right. And then conscious expression.
Conscious expression. Exactly. Knowing and noticing if they are leaking out, and then stepping more into them and being more with them and expressing them more directly and more openly.
Yeah. And there is no such a thing like, as you said, a right or wrong emotion.
Right.
Emotions simply are.
Exactly. They're right. Valid no matter what, just by being. They don't have the same logic as facts or intellectual arguments.
So heart types.
Heart types.
It's not because they are heart types that they are all good in when it comes to emotions, right?
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yes. Yeah. So, we have a lot of challenges. So even though we're based in the heart, one challenge is we can overdo emotions, right? We can amp them way up, you know, make them much bigger than they maybe organically need to be for one reason or another, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes because they are heart types and vibrate more in emotions, they might be even more emotionally reactive than head types or body types.
Right. Because that's sort of the main channel or language of their reactivity, of our reactivity, I should say. So it's really important. It's very, very important for heart types to also do the emotions of almost having the right relationship or the best relationship or a healthy relationship with their own heart, with their own emotions. I know for me as a two, when I was younger, I repressed my feelings a lot, right? So when I first went into therapy, when I was around 30, I remember so clearly over and over again, my therapist asking me like, how are you feeling? And I didn't know. The answer was, I don't know what I'm feeling. And so I think it's important to say that heart types can sometimes be disconnected from their hearts, you know, or close their hearts, sometimes because they feel they have the capacity to feel too much pain or too much hurt or too much of one feeling or another. And maybe somewhere in their lives that hasn't worked. And of course, many of us heart types got a lot of messages when we were kids about how we were too sensitive or too dramatic or too much. And so remember, some of your heart type friends may be struggling with that inner, you know, that that experience of having been told negative messages about you and your emotions. And I know for me, that was a big part of it. But also as a two, I was making more room for other people's emotions and focusing more on them and not focusing as much on myself. So by the time I was, 30 or so, I just didn't know what I was feeling. And I had to work to get more connected to my emotions.
Right. Another thing that has to do with emotional development in general is after learning how to get into an emotion, you also need to learn how to get out of an emotion.
Or let it go.
Which is harder for heart types.
Yes.
To let go of a particular emotion.
Yes.
So my point here is that heart types need to learn how to step out of all emotions they feel.
Right. Right. I think being more consciously in our emotions and accepting of our emotions and clear about what the emotion is and what it's about. And I think the more we can do that and the more we can honor our emotions, feel them, express them in whatever healthy, conscious way we decide to, then really let them go and not hold on or cling to an emotion for one reason or another.
Right. So choose. Why don't you say something first?
Yeah, I've said a little bit I will say that many twos aren't fully in touch with their emotions, right? Because they have maybe had to make room for other people's emotions. I know a lot of twos like maybe had a parent that was really emotional, and so they went into caretaker mode. And so they pushed their own emotions out of the picture and focused on someone else's emotions, because if I can make you feel better, then you'll be there and be available for me. That's a common pattern we see. So for instance, when I do typing interviews, I often hear twos say something like, oh yeah, I relate to sadness, but I don't like to be sad. So twos like to be happy and they tend to report being pretty happy in life. And they do need to get more in touch with their sadness and get more accepting of it. And many twos who have done inner work naturally go in that direction. I would say self-preservation twos need to learn to deal with fear a little bit more than the other twos. And all twos need to learn also to deal more directly with resentment and anger, because sometimes resentment leaks out as manipulation or control or withdrawal. It leaks out as other things, and we need to be more straightforward about it. Just have the anger, because twos tend to fear that anger will separate them from the people they want to connect to. So that's what I would say about twos. But I would say give yourself, it needs to be a conscious process of getting in touch with your heart, being more accepting of your emotions, feeling them fully, expressing them in healthy ways, not unhealthy ways, and then letting them go when it's time to let them go.
And do you think that the passion of pride for twos might hinder emotions? Like I can't show
Definitely.
That I'm fearful or that I'm sad to
or I'm
you.
Hurt. I don't want you to know that you hurt me. Absolutely. Or when I'm not getting my needs met, I just go right to resentment and anger instead of doing the hard work of expressing my needs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely pride gets in the way. And that's a big thing that twos can start observing in themselves about what gets in the way of having a more healthy connection to their own emotions and the ability to express those emotions and then let things go when it's time.
Yeah. So about threes, there is a very important thing to say. That emotions come to them all the time and they push them away all the time.
Unconsciously.
Yeah. So it's a lot about allowing emotions to come in, knowing that you will not perform as much when you allow them in.
My friend Val says emotions are not aerodynamic, right? They slow threes down and threes don't like that.
Yeah, and this is why they are so important. Yes. For threes, slowing down is key. And the easiest way to slow down for threes is by engaging with the emotions that come.
And just leaving space, right? One of the reasons why threes go and go and go and do and do and do and don't leave empty space is unconsciously or subconsciously, they know that emotions will come right up and that's what they're trying to avoid. So we sometimes hear threes on panel say, I've been running away from emotions my whole life. They're more conscious of that. Yeah. So it's about stopping, leaving space, and then turning more in the directions of your emotions. But here's the thing for threes, we need to tell you it's going to be uncomfortable at first. Activating the heart center more fully is really important for threes. It's the way you come to know who you are, right? When threes are avoiding their emotions, they tend to be adapting too much and playing roles and being who others want them to be. When they start getting in touch with their real self, when they start that journey, that healthy journey, it's the emotions that take them there. But it's hard at first because it can feel disorienting, scary, can feel like you're losing your ability to be successful or do what you do in life. But really, that's something that's good. That's a really good sign, all those feelings.
And it will be even better if you not only feel those emotions, but if you also express them to someone.
Yes.
Because you will then work on another part of the three in you, which is image. You will be more real. And it feels for threes like it's a big leap of faith. Because who's going to value me for what I feel? People value me only for what I do. And then threes get really surprised that so many people around them give them lots of compliments and say, wow, now I see you.
Right.
And they start gradually learning that they can be loved by who they are and what they feel, not only what they do.
It's like coming home for a three, really, to be more in their heart. And it opens up so much possibility for living life in a whole new way from who you really are, from your heart. Yeah. And I think it ends up being something that changes three's life much for the better if they can overcome that period of discomfort.
Yeah, feeling and expressing emotions build the experience of authenticity, which is essential for threes.
Yes, yes.
And then fours, very emotional by nature.
The most emotional type, probably, the most in touch with emotions.
Right.
And so, again, it's tricky for fours, though, because like the other heart types, they can maybe misuse the heart center or not use it in the best ways, in the most healthy ways, and maybe overdoing emotions, over-identifying with emotions, like I am what I feel is sometimes what fours say. But you aren't what you feel. That's an over-identification. Feelings are, and sometimes it's good to say to your four friend, you know, identify with the sky, not the clouds. Feelings are like clouds that come through, they come, they go. And sometimes fours have the bigger problem of getting too attached to some feelings and not allowing for enough for others. So they can get sort of lost in sadness as a way of defending against maybe fear of something. So it's really, really important for fours to, in some ways, get more conscious about the way they're using their heart center and the way they experience emotions. And doing it in a more conscious way means feeling the feelings, processing them, venting them sometimes, expressing them in the ways they need to, but noticing how you're using feelings. Because sometimes I know that fours can use them in defensive ways, or they can amp up the drama of an emotion as a way of avoiding something that's going on in a relationship or a situation. So seeing how am I using my emotions? How might I be over-identifying with them? How can I sort of right-size my emotions, allow them, honor them, feel them, process them, but then let them go when it's time?
Yeah. And then I like to say something like, go to the real drama underneath your drama.
Right. Right. There's a feeling that maybe is being avoided when you're maybe overdoing another feeling. And so recognizing what's happening here, question yourself a little bit, and of course get help for that as well. Mm.
Yeah, and then subtypes change things a lot, like self-pressed fours don't express emotions as much.
Right, they need to express them more. Social fours can maybe sometimes talk too much about their emotions and identify too much. Sexual fours can sort of go more to anger and less to their sadness and shame and sensitivity underneath, which helps them when they're able to, again, it's about balancing and being more conscious about the feeling and how to have the feeling, process it, express it in healthy ways.
Right. Now, I want to say that for a more complete emotional development, I do think it's super important to do therapy. It's mm-hmm. not enough to just work on it yourself or with friends. There are things that can be done only in therapy. Yeah. And in addition to this, some alternative therapies really help. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even like craniosacral therapy help mm-hmm. someone feel an emotion that's really, you know, not
available.
Acupuncture,
yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. But also, you know, regular old psychodynamic talk therapy, that's the kind I was trained to do when I worked as a psychotherapist, is really good because it focuses a lot on emotions, on creating space to talk about emotions, to talk about important events in life that need to be examined or healed. So, and a lot of that often includes getting in touch with all the emotions connected to them.
Now, if nothing of this helps, mm-hmm. then just find yourself a friend like Bea Chestnut, because, you know, it will be unavoidable to navigate emotions with someone who is very competent in feeling emotions.
I think
this is super useful if you are looking into developing yourself emotionally.
Thank you for the compliment.
Yes.
So that, I think that does it for this episode. Yeah. So we want to thank you for joining us. We hope you join us again next time for the Enneagram 2.0 podcast, where we talk about all things Enneagram.